Tax Resolution Ninja Show, where we feature the top experts on all things tax to help you understand, navigate, and resolve all your tax-related issues. Now, let's get started with the show.
Hi, I'm Alan Rolnick, the host of the Tax Resolution Ninja Show, where we feature guests and talk about issues from all walks of life, from taxes to health to economics, personal finances, sales and marketing, employment, and many more. Please listen to past episodes with Robert Hernandez and John Cochran. This episode is brought to you by Alan Rolnick, the Tax Resolution Ninja, and Tri-State Tax Resolution. The mission of the Tax Resolution Ninja is to protect the rights of businesses and people that have problems with the IRS. You have a tax problem with the IRS if you owe them money and have not made arrangements to pay them, or you have not filed a tax return for more than 2 years. If you owe the IRS money and you have not filed a tax return for more two or more years, the IRS is looking for you. Ignoring the IRS is not an option. Ignoring the IRS will put your financial well-being in jeopardy. Ignoring the IRS will cost you money. Tax Resolution Ninja can help. Call the Tax Resolution Ninja at 718-841-7317 to help solve your tax problem and, you know, get yourself out of trouble, and you'll be able to sleep better at night. I have as my guest today, Marie Murphy. Marie is a relationship coach specializing in helping people who are having affairs and helping them decide what they want to do. No judgments. She offers shame-free and blame-free coaching. Marie, thank you for joining me. I really appreciate you taking the time out of your schedule.
Hi, Alan. It's great to talk with you today.
How did you get into coaching people? And how did you get specifically helping people who are having affairs with, you know, with other people?
Yeah. Well, you know, I'll try to tell the short version of what could be a long story, but, you know, I grew up in, I was a kid in the 80s. The AIDS epidemic was large and in charge. There was so much, you know, kind of shame and secrecy around so many topics related to sex and sexuality. And on top of that, my parents were Catholic. So that sort of also introduced a layer of taboo around certain aspects of normal human life. And from a very young age, I was really sensitive to the fact that sex and sexuality and certain aspects of relationships are really touchy subjects for a lot of people. And I did not understand why it needed to be that way. And so when I was in high school, I became a peer sexual and reproductive health educator. And, you know, working with people who are also interested in taking the shame and stigma out of matters related to sexuality was a very formative experience for me. And so, as they say, the rest is history. My work in the 20 plus years since then has been related to sexuality and relationships and helping people make sense of complicated experiences in their lives. And one of the reasons why I specialize in helping people who are dealing with infidelity is because, you know, the social and cultural narrative around infidelity is that if you're cheating, you're doing something bad. And that is just so limiting, as I'm sure you see in your work too. When we think that we're doing something bad, we're doing something wrong, it really shuts down our capacity to deal with what's going on in a way that actually helps us move forward.
So, I mean, people come to you because they feel guilty or they want to get out of a bad relationship.
It depends. Yeah, absolutely. So often, you know, the sort of presenting cause is they're cheating. They're doing something outside of the bounds of their marriage or their committed relationship. And often guilt plays a big role in it. Often there's a lot of confusion. Sometimes people don't know what they want. They don't know if they want to end their marriage, or sometimes they kind of do know that they want to end their marriage, but they don't know how to end their marriage. So there's a variety. And, you know, sometimes it's interesting that we're talking about taxes. Sometimes an affair is not really the issue. Rather, it's a way of avoiding another issue in your life. So there's all kinds of things going on when people are cheating, which is such a loaded word.
All right. So they have the affair, not necessarily because they're dissatisfied with their partner, but something else may be going on, and they just need to really they're going somewhere to get relief where they're not getting it from their partner.
But sometimes, yeah, that can be a dynamic. There are so many different ways that this plays out in practice. I know there are some therapists and coaches out there that try to make sort of typologies of affairs and types of different people who cheat. I think that's instructive to a point, but usually with any one person, there's always multiple layers to the situation. It's not necessarily about dissatisfaction with their partner, but sometimes it's completely about avoiding their dissatisfaction with their partner.
Okay. So many years ago, and I just thought about this morning as I was preparing for this, you know, for this program. My wife and I had friends that we were fairly close, and we were out somewhere. And our kids went to school with each other, and we were out somewhere. I can't remember, you know, exactly where. And the husband starts to tell me that he's been seeing this other woman, and I'm standing there listening to this, and I don't know whether he meant to tell me or he didn't mean to tell me, you know. And I'm listening to this, and I'm thinking to myself, "You asshole! I mean, what are you doing?"
Yeah.
I didn't say anything to him. I mean,
yeah.
But I was really quite flabbergasted and sort of put off. So our relationship, once he told me that, our relationship was not quite the same anymore, because I really liked his wife.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
She was a doll and would do anything for anybody. And yeah, it turns out, she sort of figured it out that this was going on. And, you know, and I had a decision to make whether I'm friends with both of them. He's telling me this, and do I go ahead and say something to her? Well, I didn't say anything, because I sort of figured out that she already knew, and this went on for years, and finally my wife and I lost touch with them, and so, you know, it was a really lousy position to be put into.
It's so difficult. Yeah, absolutely. It's such a difficult position to be put in. And my heart goes out to you. I mean, just thinking about that, even though it was in the past, that's really challenging.
It is. And it was just terrible. And then, you know, friendship lasted a little while longer. But I guess things got so bad over there that our friend didn't want to deal with anybody they already knew. And eventually I understand that he got very sick, and I don't know what happened afterwards. But that was really a heartbreak. It was heartbreaking because you know, I liked them both, and my wife was friends with his wife.
Yeah.
And just a shame that it had to end that way.
Yeah, that's just really tough for sure.
But I think of people in my own business where they procrastinate, you know, getting help. Right. You know, they think they can handle it by themselves, and they really can't. What do you do in a situation like that?
Yeah. I think when we chatted previously, you know, it seems like avoidance is a really big area of overlap between your work and your client situations, and my work and my client situations. And often, you know, when people are cheating on their partners and they feel confused or guilty or conflicted or, you know, any number of difficult feelings, it can seem like it's impossible to resolve the situation. And also, for folks who are married and maybe have been married for a while and have families, addressing cheating in a relationship may threaten to end the relationship and blow up the family dynamic. And anticipating that and anticipating the discomfort that might, you know, that going through that situation may entail often leads to people pulling back from the situation and trying to avoid it or deny it or sweep the whole thing under the rug. And I imagine you see that with clients as well.
Yes, because what happens is both, especially a married couple, a lot of times one spouse doesn't know that the other spouse has gotten into trouble.
Right, right.
And all of a sudden, the government comes in and takes the money. And
right.
Or the other way around, it could be the wife that's gotten into trouble, and the husband finds they have no money in the bank account. And it tends to blow up at that point. And generally, in a lot of cases, the marriage becomes untenable. Untenable. It ends.
Yeah.
Just because they didn't handle the problem when it was first discovered.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think one of the things that it's really important to recognize is that fear and trepidation and anxiety are normal human emotions. They aren't comfortable to experience. And as a society, we don't have a great set of messages for what to do when you feel these kinds of feelings. And so what often happens is when we're scared of something, we take that as an indication that we should avoid it and that we should try not to deal with it because we're afraid and we think that, you know, fear will beget more fear and that fear is an indicator that something terrible is going to happen. And indeed, you know, your fear may be an indication that there are difficulties that you're going to have to approach. But when we normalize the experience of discomfort and we make it clear that there are tools available for people who are dealing with difficult situations, approaching the situation itself and experiencing the feelings becomes a little bit more manageable. And that's one of the things that I teach people how to do.
You provide options for them? How does it work? You provide options for them or what kind of solutions do you give them?
Yeah. Well, I help people figure out what they want their solutions to be. I don't prescribe any advice. I just help people take stock of what they want and what's going on and where they can begin to move forward in a situation that will probably take multiple steps, maybe even many steps to resolve. And in the meantime, I teach people how to name their feelings and tolerate their feelings instead of running from their feelings or avoiding their feelings or numbing their feelings with all of the various means we have available to us to numb our feelings on it, you know, anytime we want to.
Do you ever deal with both parties?
Yeah, I do. When I work with couples, I work with them separately, which is a little bit different than the traditional couples therapy model. And the reason for that is in situations in a relationship where there's been some sort of rupture, such as infidelity, you know, both people are often in a state of being very unaware of what's going on with them personally. My belief is it's so much more productive to get a handle on your own stuff before you try to work out the dynamic within the couple. And in the case of, say, someone who's been cheated on or someone who has been surprised by the tax situation that the spouse hasn't shared with them or whatever, you know, they're often angry and hurt and used. And all of these feelings are legitimate. But the problem is sometimes we blame our partner for, quote unquote, making us feel these difficult feelings. And that isn't a state in which anything productive can happen. We've got to learn how to treat our feelings as legitimate, but also take responsibility for the fact that nobody forced us to feel this way, even if our partner has behaved in ways we consider undesirable.
Does a situation ever arise where they actually are able to work out whatever the issue is and they get back together?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I mean, you know, sometimes a difficult event in a relationship, whether it's infidelity or anything else, is really an opportunity for clarification and growth. And sometimes that can mean that the relationship becomes richer and stronger and more evolved. It doesn't necessarily mean that the relationship is over. Sometimes, however, it does mean that, and that doesn't have to be a bad thing.
Yeah, sometimes, I guess they're better off, you know, separating than staying together.
Yeah, sometimes. And, you know, it's one of our dominant narratives about romantic relationships in our society is that the model is, you know, you find someone, you pair up with them, and you stay together forever. And that's kind of the marker of success. So, you know, we think that the only way for a relationship to be successful or good is for it to last forever and ever till death do us part. But really, you know, many relationships can be wonderful in so many different ways, even if they don't last for the duration of the participants' lifetimes.
So let me ask you another thing. When you're not doing your coaching, what are you doing?
Oh my goodness. Well, we are recording this interview in February 2021. So I've been doing a lot of novel reading in the last 11 months or so, which has been amazing because I love to read fiction, but in normal times, I don't do a heck of a lot of it. But prior to the pandemic, I enjoyed doing many things outside of my home, including teaching yoga, practicing yoga, going to restaurants, you know, seeing live music, being out in the world, shopping for, you know, exquisite jewelry, like all these kinds of things. But In the last year, I've been reading quite a bit and, of course, enjoying wonderful conversations with folks like yourself.
Thank you. It was great speaking with you, and I appreciate you taking the time out of your schedule to be on my podcast.
My pleasure, Alan. Thanks for having me on your show.
I hope we can do it again.
And that'd be great.
We'll see you soon. Listen to my prior podcasts, and we'll talk to you next week. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the Tax Resolution Ninja Show. Be sure to click subscribe to get updates on our latest episodes.